Alan, you dressing up as Sparky the Fire Dog?
Yes, sir. No.
Guys,
my son had to dress up as a. My son had to dress up as a food line.
We were on the list.
You making a motion?
Yeah, I'll call for the motion after we do the. Before we do the other stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. It is August 19th, 2019. Welcome to the Curry Beach Town Council meeting. We will have the invocation and a pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner and Mayor Pro Tem David Hagler.
Let us pray. God, we ask for your guidance and direction as we come together to meet today. Grant us the strength to manage the challenges ahead and the wisdom to identify these opportunities as we strive to serve the residents of Curry Beach. As we make decisions on their behalf, grant us the gift of an open mind, the willingness to learn, the humility to accept the ideas of others. Please help us recognize diversity as a blessing and let unity be our strength. Amen.
Amen.
Please rise for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First order of business will be to excuse Commissioner Ellen, who is out of the country. May I have a motion, please?
Make a motion, we excuse Commissioner Ellen.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Commissioner Ellen is excused. Therefore, his votes will be tallied accordingly. First, we have the approval of the consent agenda. As you look down through the consent agenda, do I have any noted changes?
I'm fine with the agenda. Just, do we have a plan to communicate the closures for Atlantic Avenue? Are we sending those out to our distribution list, Nancy or Beth?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Make a motion we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion second, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Next is the adoption of the agenda. Are there any recommended changes to the agenda, or do we accept it as it stands? I need a motion, please.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like a motion to accept the agenda as it's presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We can get to the meeting. Beth, do we have any consideration of persons to address council this evening? Okay, that's good. It's a good start. Discussion and consideration of committee business. Community center. Nikki, do you want to talk on her behalf?
Sure. The community center committee held their annual barbecue this last weekend, and it was a large success. Thank you to you for the help. And they sold 307 tickets and brought in about almost $3,000 in revenue to the town.
Outstanding. I sent a note to the ladies. We need to send thanks to the suppliers who also donated quite a bit of that food. Marketing committee, any representatives? Shoreline access.
Nothing to report there.
Nothing to report. Thank you, Dennis. Non-town committee reports, we have none. Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yes, two things. One, there's an agenda item we can come to that, but I didn't want to introduce two interns. I believe that the mayor has already met them, but I wanted to introduce them to the whole council. These are interns from UNCW. They're in the Masters of Public Administration program. We have Joe Donahue, which will be working with the Historic Preservation Commission to develop the report related to that. And then we have Gloria Abbott, who will working with the Planning and Zoning Commission. Basically, two charges. One is to investigate what other communities are doing in terms of green type of initiatives that might be appropriate here in Cary Beach, and also to assist the PMZ in terms of looking at one aspect in terms of the rewriting of our zoning rules related to allowable uses for various businesses. So, again, some of you have met him personally, but I wanted to formally introduce him to the council here.
Joe and Gloria, welcome.
Thank you.
If there's anything you need, do not hesitate to request it from myself, from Nancy, or from any of the commissioners. Okay, this is your place now, too.
Do you want me to go to the item, or is that later on the agenda?
I believe that is already on the agenda, so we'll hit it on the agenda.
No.
Do you want to do it now?
Yes.
Okay, I guess we're going to do it now.
Okay. This is a recommendation by the PMZ. A little bit of a history. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with a rezoning request that occurred in Carolina Beach, where one property owner requested rezoning for a number of other non-property owners. When I saw that in the news, I was somewhat surprised. I'd never heard of such a thing or any other community I've ever been involved with. We talked to the PMZ attorney, who also was somewhat surprised at that. So based upon a few other discussions that we had at the last council meetings, informally, we came through with a proposal to address that particular issue. And what you have before you is a rewording of the zoning code related to rezoning applications, which limits it to obviously town activities, but related to the individuals, they have to be some sort of property owner related to it. So it actually turned out that the old wording that we have currently in the Cary Beach zoning would allow for exactly the sort of thing that occurred in Carolina Beach. So our recommendation is to kind of clean up the language so we don't have anything like this occurring.
Okay.
And that requires a public hearing.
Yeah, it does.
Yes, it does require a public
hearing. So we should pick a date for a public hearing. Any suggestions? Next meeting?
Yeah, September 8th. I was trying to look when that was.
September 16th?
That the third Monday?
Can we do it during part of a regular meeting? Do we need to
do it before?
We can do it in the beginning of the meeting. Like we usually
have 30. Like at 5:30?
Yeah.
Okay.
Make a motion we set the public hearing for P&Z recommendations for 5:30 on September the 16th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Excuse me, Craig, one question. Is
sure.
1962, is that a total add? Because it's all red in the red line. So was that a brand new add to the section?
Our attorney wrote that, so I believe it is a total add.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to understand that. Thank you.
Okay. Discussion and consideration of department head business administration. Nancy, I think you got some things for us today.
I'm using Apple TV now. Very modern.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. I want to talk to you tonight about the code of ordinance. My office has always maintained the code and kept it current. Code of ordinances is a combination of individual ordinances or laws passed by the town council into one document or passed by broad subject matters to make finding and cross-referencing local ordinances on the same subject matter easier. We currently have both a hard copy printing version and a black binder, which you're familiar with. Great weapon, it's very heavy. And a link on the town's website to an electronic version. The town uses a third-party vendor MuniCode to manage the formatting. Lost my place. This is amendments right now to our code are in Word document. Once the document is amended, it's emailed to MuniCode to add to the code. The Word document is a cumbersome process, trying to keep, as you saw, the one prior. We have like the black line to read the code now, then we do a red line, help them change, then we do a third version to help them look afterwards. that same amendment, the zoning goes to planning and zoning first and then also to council. Trying to keep up with those changes and with two different attorneys and making sure we're getting the right amendment and the right publication is difficult. Then there's a delay getting that upgraded on the town's website. The way it is right now, the current code, there's a section called View What's Changed. So anything that's changed goes into that section while the old code remains out there. So it is difficult to make sure you're in the right code and that you're not picking up the old section of the code as opposed to the new section. Plus we print what's called a supplement, a hard copy, then all of that gets merged into the code. So part of what I've been looking at is to change to an upgraded software version using the same vendor, something called self-publishing version. This means the amendments will originate in the software itself, which will help us with keeping up with changes and amendments. It will go through the whole process, the public hearing. Then we can automatically press a button and it uploads it to the code. So what's on the website is current and up to date. You don't have to guess about which section you go in to get your information. We'll no longer use the Blackboard printed copies because we will actually put the code here. Hard copies will be provided on request, complete an 8.5 by 11, so your regular size binder. As part of the change in the software and publishing, we looked at how other towns were organizing, numbering their code system. Our code has chapters, articles, divisions, sections, and subsections to identify ordinances. The amendment may be referenced as 19-76, but translates to Chapter 19, Article 3, Division 1, Section 76. This format is also labor-intensive during the amendment process. Excuse me. I would like to go to a renumbered, reorganized version that will use KBC as a reference for QB's code and will be structured using the decimal numbering system, which identifies the chapter and section. For example, 1.01.010. The first number in that sequence, 1, is the chapter level. Second series is a two-digit number, that's your article. And the last one, the three-digit, is your section level. The Chapter 19 zoning, Article 3, District Regulations, Division 1, generally Section 76, District, becomes Chapter 15.08, or KBC 15.08, which is Chapter 15, Section 8. That's zoning and your districts. So it cuts out all that middle section of layers drilling down. Now, I said Chapter 15 and not 19. Most of you that are familiar with code know that right now zoning is Chapter 19. As part of this reorganization, the code would no longer have 20 chapters, but 15. An example would be we have a separate chapter on fire protection, Chapter 6. That would move into Chapter 2 on administration, where other departments are established, such as the town clerk, the town attorney, the town treasurer. And also Chapter 13 right now, the police moves into that section, so we no longer need those two additional chapters. Additional example would be the current Chapter 11 on nuisances, be incorporated under a new general heading, Chapter 8, Public Health and Safety. The new Chapter 11 would become Building and Building Regulations, which is currently Chapter 5. And so on Chapter 12, Parks and Rec would move to Chapter 13, Community Development Public Facilities. So the subject matters are much broader than what we've had. And in the past, in the years, over trying to figure out where to put things in the code, we've kind of dragged it out and had it drill down more, rather than looking at a better organization. So as you can see on the screen, we have much broader Chapter 3 municipal procedures, 4 is general revenue, so anything tax-related or fee-related would all come up under that rather than having a separate chapter. 9 is animal services and control. Chapter 13, community development and public facilities. And Chapter 14 is subdivisions. That is currently Chapter 15 under the current code. That would change to 14, and Chapter 19 in the current code zoning would become Chapter 15. So it will be, it will take some getting used to, especially for people who use the code a lot. I am requesting that we adopt this reorganized version of the code. I will do self-publishing regardless of how we do it, but I think the reorganization renumbering is cleaner and clearer and easier to work with. I had our town attorney review it, the planning and zoning. My attorney has reviewed it and reviewed it at the planning and zoning meeting last month. And I've asked the building inspector to review it because he uses it the most. The attorney gave you a recommendation to adopt it. Mr. Attorney, you said in there after a public hearing, which I didn't catch. I don't know if that's a legal requirement because we're not changing any code or ordinances in there. This is more of a cosmetic administrative reorganizing. So I need to know if that is a public hearing required or is that your recommendation? We need a public hearing.
Because you're moving from zoning to another section. Anytime you mess with zoning, you can hear.
Okay. Once approved, if you allow me to make this change, then hard copies will be provided to the planning and zoning council to give you a chance to get familiarized with the different changes in the chapters.
Nancy, when will we have the software to do this? Do we have it now?
We have it now. Everything's already been reorganized. We got the code that's on the website now. Has a little different look. It's the same formatting that we have, but it is in what's called a self-publishing software. So they're pretty much waiting on me to give them the okay to publish.
Okay. So there's no cost. Actually, there's probably a savings, generally.
There was some initial cost to get it moved from one software to the other.
Yeah.
But savings will be significant because we won't be having to print it. If we need to print, we can print here and we can print whatever we want. Before, I was always dependent on the vendor to do the printing and buying the books and things like that.
So I liked it. I don't know if you showed it to the audience, but you have the old code versus the new code, so you have a cross reference. Can you, maybe you said it and I just didn't catch it. Can you explain the rationale why we renumber? I understand everything else about this move except for the renumbering part.
Speaking as a clerk, and when I used to clerk for planning and zoning, I would get something from the attorney that said 19-84.
Yep.
That's not clear. You can't go straight to 19. You can in the code, but when you're amending, you've got to include where that is in the code. So you spend a lot of time, and even the planning and zoning person, I spend a lot of time going back and forth, which article am I in, which division am I in, which section, and then we have subsections underneath that. So if you didn't have like section 76, parentheses A, another parentheses 1, another parentheses 3. So for me, it's just cleaner and clearer to find out where you are in the code and less cumbersome. Keep track of all that.
I'm still not sure I understand, but so I mean the issue is you could have mapped this under the new thing. You've moved some stuff, and is it because this is how you should do it in Muni code, so it matches up with how they coded their stuff, or I mean you had to make some decisions when you changed some of the numbers, right? So is that driven by this is how they recommend your structure, or is that driven by you went to some classes and said this is the best way you do it? Or I just don't understand why you just didn't map it straight over so that no one had to relearn.
I didn't map straight over. Nothing's changed in the code right now. What's on the website is exactly the chapter, article, division, subsection. This is a whole separate, what I'm showing you here, is a separate code that's sitting out there, renumbered and renumbered.
No, I understand. When we move to this, not everything, but a lot of things change their number, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you just said chapter 19 becomes chapter 15.
If we go with this version, yes.
Well, that's what I'm asking. I want to understand
the
rationale.
Well, I asked part of that, how do other towns do this? Is there an easier, better way to do this?
Okay.
And that's what was recommended. When they look at our code, and they do code for a lot of states, municipalities and counties, they said this is what most are following. The number of system. We also had several sections that were reserved in the code that only put certain things. This kind of builds it in. Each numbering system is so many digits apart to allow for that. So we don't have separate reserved sections. It's not necessary. It's just easier on staff and I think on the attorneys. Possibly Council too, trying to follow the amendment about the different sections of our articles.
Well, 19 went to 15, right? I mean, 19 chapters went to 15 chapters.
20, we had 20 chapters.
Yeah, or 20.
21.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm okay with that. We'll probably need to struggle through it a little while, but I know that P&Z was supportive. I have a letter of support from our town attorney here that should be become part of the record. Do you have anything else you want to take us through, or you want to go to discussion on this?
Just to show you, we'll also have a new portal that will have this either way, whether we do the renumber, this is how it will look. Once we move completely to self-publishing, just kind of mirrors a little bit of the website now. So you won't have to go on the home page and search for the link, because it will be a clear link that takes you right into the portal. And then this, you can't really see this in the audience, this just kind of gives you what I was talking about, how things will change, how the numbers will look. And then in the back, we went through Beth Lindgren and spotted out where each chapter and how it would move. To me, it's, I don't know if logical is the right word, but it's certainly cleaner and clearer for me to say.
Well, so just trying to understand what other things change, right? So the fire inspector, how he writes his reports, if they're already printed out, they change because it's a different section. All the tickets change, right?
Well, there's very little in the chapter 6 on fire. Part of it went to that there would be a fire chief that went to administration. The other part about fire code actually went to a separate section.
Right. So.
And it's on, I can't read it, hold on.
But I mean, if anything he has, and it could be the building inspector, it could be a police officer, if any of their tickets or anything reference the code, that all has to get sorted through and changed because we've changed all the...
That's correct.
And that's my issue, is how big is that issue? Because I don't understand how big it is. I mean, I don't even know that they understand right now. Maybe they do. Hopefully all the departments have looked at it, but there are some forms that I think probably... if we adopt this tonight, are not right. And there's probably more than, at least I realize, that's why I'm asking the question, right? That's sort of the danger of doing this, and that's why I wanted to understand. I mean, if the rationale is following all the other cities in North Carolina makes it easier for everyone else to look at our code, that's very valuable, and I understand that. I just want to understand the downside. The downside is that if potentially our tickets reference the code, all of the tickets for Mike Vallon's department are no good after tomorrow if we do this tonight, because they have the wrong reference on the bottom of them. Is that right, town attorney?
We'd have to have a public hearing.
Oh, after the public hearing. So he's got time to fix it.
We'll be past tonight.
Okay, so if we set a public hearing, he's got time to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Because if on the bottom, and I don't know if they are, I haven't looked at one of our tickets in a while. I haven't got one lately. If they reference on there, and I don't know if they do, maybe they don't, but I assume they reference the section that you're in violation of because there's civil penalties.
Actually, a lot of the police department's tickets have write-in sections for that. There will be some changeover. I know the fire department's got some. I have some too. Most of mine are fill in the blank. I can change them over in a matter of minutes.
Yeah. But I would assume the tickets say on the bottom is you're in violation of this, so people could look it up and decide if they were mad about it or not. Most tickets do. I don't know.
Some of them do, some of them don't.
Yeah.
I've seen later ones that he's done fill in the blank as far as the section number.
Right.
So
okay.
It may not be as bad as
okay.
No. It might be.
But if we got time for a public hearing, I just think we should ask the department heads, look through all your stuff and where you've referenced.
We're looking at one of the tickets now. They fill in with the violation.
Okay.
It doesn't reference the place.
Okay.
Okay.
And actually, everything in parking, which is Chapter 10 now, stays in motor vehicles. It will be Chapter 10, but it will be a different numerical reference. So there definitely will be some.
Okay. That's all questions I have.
Okay. Ma'am, do you have a comment? State your name and address, please.
Hi, my name is Mary Ann Hitter. My address is 401 Largo Way.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank Council, Mayor, and Nancy. It seems like there's two parts to this. There's the simplification where you can make changes and it doesn't have to be an addendum at the end of the codes, so that you can go on electronically and change something that's been approved and you're not having to do an addendum. We don't know it's been changed because it's hidden in the back. Then there's the part where, based on what you've looked into and other cities and things, what works best as far as you've gone from 20 to 15. Could you do part one and not do part two right now? where you do this and leave things exactly as they are and go into this new system and have the 20 sections. And then when that's adopted, because it wouldn't have to then change because it would still be zoning, it would still be 20 or 19 or whatever it was. And then when that's everybody's comfortable with that, then go into revamping. Because then you could like probably do it more immediately and say, okay, now we've got it. It's in here, changes, and when we make changes, then those have to be approved. That's my only thing, is that it's a part one and a part two, possibly.
Sure, you don't have to do the renumbering or the last version at all. I mean, I will go to self-publishing. I'm not changing anything. The code looks exactly like it is now. As a matter of fact, what is out on the website right now is the self-publishing version. It won't really impact anybody in here other than the staff for doing amendments.
Okay. Well, I'm not opposed. Not as someone's got a cool. I just wanted to understand, right? So there's plus and minuses, right? And I think a public hearing should tease those out. We should ask the department heads how much does it impact them, right? If it makes it simpler for people, we have plenty of people look at our code from outside of town, and if they're looking at a bunch of other codes, everybody's the same, that makes sense, right? That'll, once we learn it, that'll help us when we're trying to find someone else's code to see how we're doing things compared to them. Because that's always been frustrating to me is when I try to look at our code and then look it up somewhere else in North Carolina to see what if we're alike, they never match up. So I'm supportive of that. I just want to understand the downside.
Yeah. So more like the SIC codes.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So,
the same thing.
What's the will of the council?
Sounds like a public hearing, right?
Yeah, I'm good with setting a public hearing. You know, we set up public hearing and move forward. Here, what?
Okay.
I think we could do it all within the 30 minutes of the for next one. Should we do it at 5:15, a little extra time?
I don't think we'll need extra time.
Well, we can start 5:30 to 6. Can you get here?
Of course.
Okay.
So 5 o'clock. I make a motion we set it for 5 o'clock on
September 16th.
Thank you.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So we, that will be two public hearings on September 16th, 5 to 5:30 and 5:30 to 6 o'clock.
It's going to be a long night.
Well, yeah, it will be. Nancy, you have some more?
I do. I have more fascinating comments. Recycling.
Yeah.
Curbside and public recycling contract, I need an approval for the contract for waste management. We have used waste management since 2003. The contract expired last year at a time when due to issues in the marketplace with vendor costs related to processing recyclable material, we had to raise our fee to the residents from $4.88 per cart to $7.40. Waste management's the middle person. They come and collect it and they take it to another vendor, Sunoco. Either processes it or ships it out somewhere else for someone else to process. So that reflection and increase was the increase that waste management was being charged to take the materials to the processor. This was the first increase to the residents since fiscal year 2013. This was also the first rate increase since waste management since that time, other than regular CPI increases and then the regular 10% gas surcharge that we pay as part of the contract. This is not just a problem here in New Hampshire County. This is a countrywide almost recycling issue. A lot of countries that were taking recycling or are no longer taking it. So the market is in flux as to where it's going. A lot of towns and communities are struggling. We did receive. We did receive another rate increase a couple of weeks ago from waste management. I talked to them prior to the budget process. They couldn't tell me at that time, so I budgeted the same amount as I did the year before. But they have had another increase come to them. I hope I don't get this confused, bear with me. On this chart that you're looking at, our current recycling monthly costs when the town costs are $6.72 per cart curbside. That's what waste management charges us. We have 2,166 carts for a monthly total of $14,505.50. There's also a 10% gas surcharge on that. And then we have public recycling carts that the beach accesses that we do not pass that cost on to the residents. We pay that out of the general fund. That rate has not changed. That's the same.
So it's passed on to the residents, it's just not paid as a recycling fee.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry.
For the presentation.
Okay.
It does not reflect it.
Okay.
But what we are charged $6.72 plus 10%. What the residents pay is $7.40 per cart per recycling fee pickup, 64-gallon cart. That brings in $192,340 revenue. The town's yearly cost is the $207,000. Our budget is $209,000 based on those numbers. West Management has now come and said that they're going to have to raise their per cart charge to us to $7.41 per cart. We are passing on $7.40 per cart to the residents. This is going to leave us with a deficit in the budget of $16,900.72. It will also leave us with a deficit. Recycling is one of the few services that we provide that we do pass the cost to the residents for that. Garbage, we absorb a lot of that. We're absorbed in the paper rather than through taxes. So we can look at how we meet the shortfall of the $16,000 in the budget, or we can also look at the meeting basically again to bring in the value that we need to make it a true pass-through cost. To do that, I lost my numbers. Bear with me just a second.
Yeah,
we need to increase the current fee to by 75 cents from $7.40 to $8.15 now. Or later in the years, we see whether rates continue to increase to cover the deficit. This will still leave us short by 2 months of revenue because we're already in August by the time we get it through the billing system, which will be September or October.
September
would be the first one. Mm-hmm. So that will still leave us a small shortage of $3,007. Or we can increase the recycling fee to the residents by 90 cents. From the $7.40 to $8.30 to completely cover the expense for this fiscal year. So I'm asking you for two things. One, I need to get under contract with West Management. We've gone month to month for quite a while now. Mm-hmm. It does have a 90-day out clause. Either us or the vendor.
How often do they get to change prices in the contract? Does it say?
How often, anyway?
Do they get to raise the rates if it keeps getting worse in the recycling market?
Well, there's normally a CPI built in. They did not, this contract doesn't have one in for the first year because they haven't increased the rate. But we normally have a, whatever CPI is, usually 3%. 2-3%.
Right, but they don't, in the contract for 3 years, they don't have any other escalation clauses?
Well, I think they have it. Their rates increase.
Yes.
They use a Sunoco as the their vendor. If they raise their, they're going to pass that on to us. So if they could raise, they could increase next month again.
Well, that's what I was trying to understand, right? I mean, we can get out in 90 days, so they can only lock us in for 90 days of that. But
right, I have the maximum here. $8.64 per car. Is what's included in the contract.
So is that a maximum? $8.64
plus the 10% fuel charge.
Okay, I understand. But we can get out in 90 days. The problem is the market's bad for everyone on this issue.
In the market bad, we can't get anybody else to give us a price on the service.
Right. That's because nobody wants to be in the business.
I've got some concerns about the $14,000 we're spending on those 45 parts.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, we understand, the mayor and I understood that some of the times the carts are contaminated, so we end up dumping them more times than they actually pick them up. So if they're contaminated, then we really I'd like a better feel for how often they actually pick the public carts up at the beach access points. You have any idea?
How many carts?
They said there are 45 carts.
No,
we're paying
no 26 public carts at beach access.
26 public, excuse me. They're $45 a car, excuse me.
Right.
26 carts. That's $14,000. Mm-hmm. They're not picking it up.
Yeah, the $14,000 would put us back at the 209 budget number.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we had talked about this.
The beach accesses and the walkway.
Yeah. Now,
we pretty much do that anyway, whether it's with contaminated or what. We don't mm-hmm. we don't let it sit over the weekend or nothing like that.
What do you mean contaminated? Anthrax?
They get a pizza box in there with the pizza grease and the pizza oil.
They don't like those drop the trash in there, contaminates it. They don't pick it up.
Yeah, people come off the beach, they throw everything in, everything, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
A cup full of Coke, they just throw it in.
But so you're saying they're never picking up recycle? That's not right. At the beach accesses?
Well, they'll pick them up once a week, whichever time.
Right.
Most of the time, like on the weekends or whatever, they're full of, again.
Right.
And we're going to dump them regardless.
So I think the issue is they're picking up once a week, I think. I mean, we need to understand that better. But, I mean, you know, I think it's bad public policy if we don't support recycling, including recycling off our beach. It's already a problem, but the landfills are filling up, and we should be trying not to. I just don't want us to advocate recycling because of, I know it's $14,000, but I think our town, we should be telling people to recycle and support that.
We have an intern who's going to help us with the green initiative.
But if we're not being good stewards of our money, if we're spending $14,000 for a service that we're not getting any benefit out of, because the visitors are contaminating the recycling containers, and we're having to dump them anyway, or they won't dump.
Paid parking will help take care of them.
Jimmy, I'd like to ask you this. We had talked to all the guys as part of our process in setting up. Could you talk to the garbage guys and get a feel for how often they actually are picking up those cans, or how often they think waste management is picking up the cans? You probably have a feel for it, but they left us with the impression that they often don't take them, and that we're doing it.
We're 5 days a week down there right now, so whether it's full or not, it don't stay over the weekend. So we're dumping them regardless.
Okay, so you're picking it up anyway.
Yeah.
But then they're picking up when they come, right?
Yeah.
That's the question to ask is, are they rejecting pickup? The issue is there's so much stuff. I mean, we could ask them for more pickups, but Jimmy's point is he's not going to leave a full can sitting at a beach access.
Right.
So
then the point is, when Jimmy picks it up, it's going to the
landfill. Yep. That's right.
So if we pick it up anyway, is there value to having waste management pick it up when they pick it up?
Yeah, there's
maybe
still
once a week.
Pick them up on Monday.
Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other option, of course, was do it every 2 weeks.
That's
not a good option.
That's not the option for there.
But we also have contaminated curbside recycling. And if there's something, I can't seem to break people to have putting a plastic bag in the recycling cart. If it's a plastic bag, they cannot take it, it shreds and bulks up their machines. So public workers will get called in that case.
You guys get called?
Or food or anything. Yeah, we get called.
Do you make them put it in a regular trash can?
Yeah, they go in the regular garbage, yeah.
I know, but do you guys pick up the recycling cans with
our... Well, it's not that often, but yeah, we do. If it's a contaminated can,
right.
When waste management won't pick it up, we get it.
Right. And as much as goes through mine, I'm surprised by that. No, I guess I got to look at it more.
Okay. That's the 14,000 of the 19,000 we're...
Look at it.
You said eliminate the cans downtown, get rid of them.
I'd like more information. If that's the case, and we need, that would be something I would consider to look at. You know,
isn't this also a seasonal problem?
Right.
So, can we say pick it up 6 months and don't pick it up 6 months?
The point, Steve, is really the support of the recycling efforts, right? And how do we want to approach that without potentially doing something with cost unless we really have to? When do we have to sign this agreement, Nancy? When does it expire?
It's already expired.
Already expired. Okay.
She's trying to clean up something that we're operating without a real contract.
Yeah. Any other comments?
I have.
Dennis?
One thing that we've noticed, Beach Access Committee, and is, you know, there are high volume access points and low volume access points. And one question is, do we continue recycling at the high volume access points where a lot of people are coming and going and dumping trash? Some of the lower access, you know, volume access points, we need recycling cans there. So we can perhaps cut out some of the cans and yet support the recycling effort.
So are the low ones the ones that don't have parking? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the ones that don't have parking.
Yeah, everyone that has parking is high volume, at least this weekend.
Yeah, maybe the ones on Southport Fisher past the parking lots or don't get that much traffic.
Right.
I'm talking about
bottle
cans.
Yeah, I don't.
Well,
it's
$45
a can,
right?
So if the 26 is really 15, that helps.
Right?
It's not a bad idea to qualify.
You know, perhaps as Beach Access, we can think about signs encouraging people to pay attention to the recycling efforts and not throw garbage in there. There is a separate garbage can. Use that rather than the recycling.
There's signage all over the ones at the ocean park. A huge sign recycling with what is the car.
There's three or four signs
actually on those.
Nancy gave us a variety of choices. Dennis had a good choice. Reduce that number. That still doesn't quite get us to no increase.
No.
Any other ideas?
So, Jimmy, if we reduced them at the public beach access, would you have to put a second trash can there? Because even the walkway ones,
exactly.
I mean, part of the issue is if there's not a can there, they're going to throw it on the ground and it's going to make it worse. Right. We're not going to accept that.
Just replace it with a larger, regular can.
Right. I mean, we could save some. We pay the landfill, too. It's not like this money disappears, right? It's just different. We're moving money around. I mean, I think, so I would support what Dennis said is looking at access to cut some of those out potentially, but I think we should go ahead and fix the problem that we have. It's only going to get worse on the fee.
Oak Island, when you get to the beach access coming off the beach, they have a strip of recycling bins, paper, plastic. They're locked down. They're made out of wood. I mean, I know they'll definitely be more expensive initially, but I was kind of impressed with that. You know, it's all broken down. And of course, we have to work with waste management to do that. But especially with our green initiative, we're going to try to do that's something to think about.
Except they throw it all in the same truck.
Right. Exactly.
That always blows my mind. You know, separate it, but we're going to throw it in the same truck.
Not when they're paying $5 an hour.
Okay. All right. We're going to need to do something here.
Right.
Let's. I could stand a motion for a solution that requires us to check the bins, reduce the bins, and then we will have to come up with whatever the additional fee is, since this is an enterprise account, right? It has to pay for itself.
This is not.
Oh, this is not.
But what we've done, typically done, is try to match the actual cost for
waste
management to what residents charge for the curbside service. So to do that with the increase of now is the $8.15 a month.
Correct.
Okay. What are we spending monthly on the landfill? About $11,000 in the summer? I think I just signed a check for that. About $11,000 a month?
I don't think quite that much.
I think this month, last month was $11,000 when I signed it. But, so, that's a significant cost that we could also, the point you made is well taken. So they're going to get us one side or the other side. So do I have a motion to accept Dennis's proposal and go off and do that piece of work?
So I'll make a motion that we review the least used five public beach accesses and eliminate carts there and add a second garbage can. Those will be the walkovers. If it's six or seven, Dennis, if you recommend, but I think it's five. And then the lowest five. And then I'll start with that motion so we can work on that one. If me and Ed aren't leaving.
I'll second that.
Okay. So motion is second.
All right, so then we're going to approve the 3-year contract.
Well, I'm going to make a second motion.
We're going to figure out how to work it down. So we have a motion on the approach. Do I have a second? Yes, we do have a second. Any other comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, now my second motion is looking at the recommendations that Nancy gave us to satisfy Arlen's strive to balance the budget. If we do that, I make a motion that we increase the recycling fee by 80 cents per month from 740 to 820. And that should get us pretty close. It won't be perfect, but it should get us close.
815
number. 815. 815, you'd still be behind. But when we take out the five, that's where 820 came from. Okay. Those two. 820. I did new math in my head. 820. 80 cents a month.
That's an 80 cent increase to the citizens per can. What do I do? I have any second on that motion, or is it going to die here?
Because the rate is actually based on, what is it, 741, mm-hmm. and then you add the 10% fuel charge to that, so I guess it would be 815.
I understand.
Okay.
But because we're keeping the other stuff in, you still be a little low. You recommended 90 cent to close everything. Well, if we take those out, that's the difference.
I think that, I'm not sure what the 90 cents.
That was your, to take the 830 to get the full year.
That's because we're missing 2 months.
When they increased the rate, they went retroactive back to July 1st.
So I understand.
Yeah, so that was too.
I'm trying to help you catch up. That's where I got the math from.
Right. Okay.
I would be fine too with it just from September. I mean.
Okay. Well, then you guys should say no, and then we'll make another motion.
Especially if there's the potential that we're reducing the number of the beach access cars.
Okay. So that. No, That motion died from lack of second.
Oh, there you go.
Therefore, we will.
Go ahead and state your motion again, David.
So my motion was, so.
I'm having a hard time with this.
Okay, so there's three things. Arlen and Nancy worked out how much would it just cost how much it's going to cost, right? If we would have started this in July, it would have been 75 cents from 740 to 815. But because we didn't start it in July, July and August are already passed, so we're behind a little bit. And so to make it all square, if you look through her recommended motion, it's 90 cents to make it all square. But that keeps all 26 of the public beach accesses in. So I said take five out with my first motion, which you guys approved, and then I reduced the amount. I did the math roughly in my head. That's where I came up with. Arlen's saying we don't need that. That's why no one seconded the motion. So I'll be glad to change it, but it has to die first.
Do I have a second on the first motion? Motion dies for lack of second. We have a new
motion. Let's hear what you
there we are.
All right.
After being schooled by the finance officer, I make a motion that we raise the fee by 75 cents from 740 to 815 to cover the residential cost of recycling.
Second. I second.
Second.
Okay, second. We have a second from Commissioner Allen. Any other comment? All in favor?
Aye. Aye. And then now the last one. So after the public beach accesses are identified, modify the contract and execute a 3-year contract with those out.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Nancy, did that answer all the questions?
Who's identifying?
Dennis and Jimmy will tell you the five that are out.
Can I go ahead on the recommendation, or does that come back to council?
I think they're the right two people.
Yeah, I do. Dennis is the beach guru, and Jimmy.
Jimmy's the master of all.
As the master of public works.
There you go. Cool.
While we're on this, Nancy, can we get some understanding about how many towns our size that do every 2 weeks and their problems they have with that? Or, I mean, is there any information out there who are doing every other week pickup on recycling?
Carolina Beach did it for a while and they went back.
But it causes a problem with rentals, I know that.
Yeah, rentals would be a big deal.
I think our citizens, there's plenty, as I drive around, including my house, that is full. Even a bigger container, for the 2 weeks they make it a bigger container, but it's not double sized.
No, it's not so,
right.
It's going
right.
to be so, a pain.
It's just, really 50% bigger. Yeah.
It's not going to save you much, is what I was told.
Okay.
It will not be as
it's
pretty.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And Carolina Beach, they just went to every week, with, and they have a 98 gallon. But Riceville Beach has some kind of agreement with the county where the county maintains a whole recycling center for them. I don't know if they're going to get the curbside or not. Last year when all these rates started to go up. But I can certainly try to find out from other counties.
I was just curious more.
So Riceville doesn't curbside recycle? Wow.
Not as far as come up to them.
That's horrible. Okay.
But the county maintains it for them, so I guess they have the space to do that. But we tried that once with a dumpster, and it was...
Yeah. The county maintains it, but they're... I mean, all the beer cans in Riceville Beach are going to the landfill.
The bigger the beer can you put out there, the more recycling you'll have. You can, I mean, that's just the way it's
going. Cool. Thank you, Nancy.
Nice job, Nancy. Thank you. Okay. Building inspections.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, you're right. You're going to talk about the...
I cut this.
Yes.
She's so excited.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. As some of you know, we are currently in the process of transitioning our minutes and agendas to a new software system, as you're seeing on the screen for the first time. We currently use a Word document to create our agendas and use the scanner to scan in all the agenda items. This will eliminate it by, we will be able to upload the document straight from our computer drive to the agenda packet in the software. This new software will also allow for the minutes, agendas, and agenda packets to become searchable. So this means when you enter the portal, give me 1 second, you'll see a little search button at the top of the screen. So if you wanted to search for all the studies that we've ever done in Curry Beach, related to the minutes, agendas, or agenda packets, you will find down below. Down below the results. It's hard to see, put it on the screen. It will search through all minutes, agendas, and agenda packets from meetings going forward. We will start going backwards as well and adding some of our prior meetings. Commissioners, you will also each be receiving a username and password to your iCompass account. You will be able to also download the app called Agenda Notes onto your iPad. And using the app will allow you to electronically make notes on the agenda packet using the app. As shown on the screen, the agenda packet will now be available in a split screen version. So this means that the agenda will always be displayed on the left-hand side of the screen, while the agenda packet item will be displayed on the left.
That's good. Cool. So I won't have to run back and forth to get all my notes.
For residents visiting our portal, They will access it through a link on our homepage. The portal as shown is going to look very similar in design to our current website. The board will make the meeting calendar more accessible to our residents. You will also be able to... subscribe to upcoming meetings and receive an alert to your email. So that will give them the option, if they like to attend regular council, they can subscribe to the regular council meetings. Or they may choose to come to all three and subscribe to the public hearing, regular council, and special council. This will also come with a new recording system that will be connected to our microphones. The residents will be able to listen to the audio recordings in the new portal. And we hope to be live with this system, hopefully in September or October.
Listen to it live while we're doing it, or after the fact?
Live as in up and running, the system. But the recording will be uploaded after the meeting.
Okay.
After we approve it.
You just do away with your little recorder.
Yes, we're going to get rid of the recorder. But we have to approve before the recordings are uploaded to our system.
And it'll record these mics and those mics so you can hear. Because that's right. The issue with this. Sometimes you can't hear what a citizen says.
Yeah. Nice. We're getting a new software for that.
What a modern age.
Yeah. Does this allow folks to listen to the meeting from home?
I'm not sure about that. We haven't gotten to that part. I don't think so, because we want to be able to approve the recordings before they're hosted. Okay. So that would eliminate
this. Is live streaming, it looks like.
I think you can have the option, but...
I'm just wondering if it was available last week.
I think that is a no.
Okay.
Nice.
So that's...
So we get some training on this afterwards?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
You're going to train us, Beth?
Yeah. Nice. Yes. That looks good.
Yeah, it does.
Nancy wants you to see the items in the split screen.
So well, we've been showing it the whole time. I was wondering what y'all are doing.
Since our next meeting is the crosswalks shortly after safety, I'll show this one. But you'll be able to scroll through all the way down on the split screen while your agenda packet stays in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
That is nice.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. And the training, of course.
Once we're up and running on council, we'll get it online.
Well, thank you, Beth. Building inspections.
Yes, sir. It's a brief update on the future hire code enforcement officer. We received 20 applications. Done some interviews already. We've got a couple of clear candidates. Hopefully by the next meeting, we'll be introducing you to the new code enforcement officer for the town. We received applications from attorneys to paralegals to restaurant servers. So it's pretty diverse background.
Okay, that's quite a group.
Happy to answer. Can you get my application?
Yeah. No. I probably filtered that out, Jimmy. Sorry. You're doing good where you are.
Finance department.
Nothing from finance.
Nothing to say? Fire department, Ed.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, commissioners. I have just a couple quick things. First off, as usual during this time of the year, our lifeguards and our college students are headed back to college and they haven't already done so, and then next week, our lifeguards at our high schoolers will be headed back to high school as well. So what that means for us is we usually, our staffing reduces down to what we call a skeleton crew, which we usually get anywhere from 5 to 10 lifeguards during the week. During the weekends, we usually have a full staff. We've been doing this for well over 15 years. It's nothing uncommon. Our neighboring beach towns also experience the same thing. So what that means for us operationally is that you'll be seeing more black flags. We've found a better use of lifeguards if we put them on ATVs. We will staff certain towers, especially the ones beside the piers,
if they have a higher volume of traffic on the beach at that particular location. But as I said, the main thing is that beach patrons and citizens just, of course, heed caution as they go to the beach, know that we're limited staffing. It's not a retention issue. It's just it's who we recruit every single year. We mostly get college and high school age students on the beach. So any questions on that? Flag colors are still the same. Like I said, you'll be seeing a lot more black flags. And that started today, actually. So I think we had 6 lifeguards on today.
So how many do you have on the ATVs then when you have 6?
We have 5 four-wheelers and a Pioneer. So we try to staff those first. And
okay.
As I stated, if we have a particular location that has a lot more traffic than others, we'll actually station that ATV at the tower.
Okay.
And then we'll usually swap off lifeguards at the tower, so they'll actually man that station for a period of time as long as it stays higher populated.
Okay.
Also on top of that, J.D. Lanier, who's our Ocean Rescue Supervisor, he's done a fantastic job this year. I think, at least from what I've received, we've only received 2 complaints the entire summer, which is absolutely phenomenal from where I'm standing. I mean, usually we get around 2 a week, and to have 2 a summer, or yeah, 2 for the whole summer is fantastic. So he's doing a great job. He's a young supervisor, and I think he plans to stay with us long term, so that's great for us.
Ed, do you know how many saves we've had this year or rescues?
Yeah, it's been a slow year. I think we're right around the 40 mark. Last year we had just over 225.
Yes.
The year before that was our slowest year. We only had 29 rescues the whole summer. But we usually average between 150 and 250
okay.
rescues a summer. On top of that, our fire department, of course, is fully capable and ready to respond during the after hours and the weekend as our staffing is limited going into the end of the year.
Okay.
Moving forward on the fire side, as you know, this year you all get the text messages. We had a very busy month on top of our normal day-to-day calls. We responded to 2 mutual aid structure fires in Carolina Beach, and we also had 2 structure fires in our own district, as well as a vehicle fire. The first one was a structure fire down in the Ocean Dunes on the beachside deck, in which our crews were able to get there quickly along with the help of a beach patron and extinguish the fire, keep it confined to the exterior deck. I believe it was adjacent to Mr. Moore's property there as well. So
I believe so.
We zero damage as far as water damage to the actual interior of the structure, so we were able to, as I said, keep it confined to the back deck. And then secondly, 2 days later, we had a vehicle fire on the south end. We usually get 1 or 2 every single summer, so that was common. And then a couple of days later, we had, of course, the large fire on 6th Avenue South. It was from what I'm aware of, the second largest fire that we've experienced. Came out pretty early in the morning. Our crews, upon arrival, experienced heavy fire conditions, but our police did a great job of ensuring the arriving crews that all citizens were out of the structures, which really helped out our fire crews in assuming a defensive fire operations. Everyone acted within guidelines. We had great mutual aid from Carolina Beach, New Hanover County, the city of Wilmington. I wish Mike was here so I could thank him personally, but Mike himself drove down from Leland to assist on the police side. The entire police department did a fantastic job, really. Public Works as well. Jimmy and his crew ensured that we had all of our water supply needs, and then John Batson showed up first thing, 7 o'clock in the morning, with his boots on and was able to help out with determining the structural integrity of both of the structures so we could allow the citizens of the homes to go back in and get some valuable belongings. And we were able to actually get cancer medications, passports, wallets, and that sort of thing. So John, thank you. He was a big help for that. And then lastly, I have in front of you, so it's a rough draft. But as I stated a few months ago, in October, the fire department is going to host an open house. We want to bring the public in, take a look at the new firehouse. Like I said, this is a complete rough draft. I wanted to put this in front of you so you can see kind of what we're looking at. Fire Prevention Week is from Sunday to Saturday, October 6th through, I believe, is the 12th. We're thinking Sunday at this time, it could be a two-day event, but at least from noon to 6 p.m. on Sunday, which we figure is a great day, we can kick off Fire Prevention Week at the firehouse. What we're looking to do is hot dogs and beverages. We're going to have Sparky the dog walk around. We'll of course do fire truck demonstrations. We have free giveaways for all ages, so we'll have a whole table full of smoke detectors. Any resident that needs a smoke detector or wants a smoke detector, they can of course get those detectors. And if they want us to assist them in installing them, we've got a form that we can fill out, and our on-duty crews will go and assist them with that as well. We'll be borrowing a smokehouse, so we'll have a smoke machine going. It's basically a bouncy house for the kids to go in, and we can have a smoke detector there and show them what they would do in the event of a fire. And then we've also tossed around the idea of doing a mass hands-only CPR. We've got quite a few dummies. We've got a few CPR instructors as well. That's the new thing of basically training as many people as you can on hands-only CPR. So that way, if you witness someone in the event of a cardiac arrest, you at least immediately get light on hands-on CPR compressions. A few other scheduled events, like I said, this is just a rough draft. Possible turnout gear race, and then a raffle or some sort of silent auction as well. I gave this to you, so if you have any additional comments or concerns, you can shoot them to me through email. If you feel like maybe we should have additional events or types of events, feel free to shoot those to me as well.
Sounds like a good time, Ed. Thank you. And thanks for all the work, first responders and Public Works and John. People don't realize how difficult it is to deal with structure fires that end up with serious damage.
Okay. Police Department, I excused Mike this morning. He's not feeling well. Public Works, Jim.
Just a quick update. Last Wednesday, we had a pre-construction meeting on the water meter project. Actually, the water meters will be again to be installed September the 9th. So me and Arlen has a few more pieces of paper to fill out and stuff like that. But it's on go. So. Things looking pretty good. So, but there was one thing, and you guys remember, not was about the portal.
Yeah.
You know, for people, and I suggested that we hold off on that until we get all the bugs and everything worked out of this. Right. So I still recommend we hold off on the portal. I mean, we can add it on later on once we get everything up and going, maybe next year or something like that. But that's just my recommendation.
Okay.
Okay. Who's going? Will you get something to Nancy for, we need to get this out to
the
citizens
and
everything.
Yeah, we'll get it on the website, and you know, we're just trying to schedule everything with the contractor now, and trying to show him which end of town we want to get started on and stuff like that. So,
okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll definitely get it out.
The contractors were saying the outage at an individual property is like, how long, Jimmy?
Yeah, maybe
like 15 minutes or something.
They do.
They're trying to install 150 meters a day.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
I thought it would be good to get 75, but if they get that, man, I need more power to them.
Yeah, that's impressive if they do that. It's going to be a lot of people.
Install 150 and hopefully not have to fix 50 of them.
Jimmy, question. So once the first meter is put in, how does that relate to your cycle of reading meters? I mean, will you automatically start with the...
Well, they're suggesting that we get 300 to 400 meters in, and the first week of October we'll have training for the billing side of it, and also we'll have training for the meter and the reading side of it.
So it won't mess up our billing cycle or anything.
I can't guarantee you it won't. You know, I just...
Harley's behind you. He's shaking his head.
You know, at any time when you change software, you know, I'm not saying that it will go perfectly smooth, but, you know,
right.
We won't know until we start working through it. Part of the plan is, you know, one, our billing software has dealt with this kind of thing, including the iTron reading system, so, that's a plus. But I'm not saying that, you know, there won't be some problems that pop up. So, what we're hoping to is, after maybe 10, 20 meters are installed, you know, get that data from those and let the software developer at the billing company play with that a little bit, make sure it's going to work.
Okay, good.
So you'll be able to read those as soon as they're in with their software,
yeah.
Right? So we will be reading some via their software and some the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way we can prevent what we went through on the hurricane, right? Which is the people paying more because they had more water over 6 weeks.
Right. And that's going to be part of the challenge, too, because the building process is going to be, you know, two different systems in place for a number of months. So.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the heads up on that. Recreation Department, Nikki. Okay. Discussion and consideration of old business. Safety audit results. Just as a quick feedback, this council took a proactive position to look at the safety for our employees in this town. We want a safe town for our residents, so we also want a safe place for our workers, some 48 of them, as they work here. It helps with insurance, and it helps to make sure our men feel safe as they go into areas that are sometimes difficult. In our audit, we did find that many of the departments are doing a very fine job. There are some areas where there are OSHA requirements that we could probably button up if they apply. Not every OSHA requirement applies. So we have determined, we've reviewed the input from the consultant. We've set up a safety committee. That committee is being chaired by our longest standing commissioner, who has probably the deepest town management experience, and that'll be Alan Oliver is going to chair that committee. There will be another commissioner on that, John Allen. The rest of us will participate as we can, and every department head. The goal of that meeting will be to define a single safety plan for the town that each department will follow to the sections that apply to them. That way we will not have a safety plan that looks like one thing for Public Works, looks like something else for the police department. So it's a new initiative. You may hear things about it. You may hear things on television about it, since they've inquired about it. So it's just important for you to know that this is a proactive. We didn't do this because something's wrong. We did it because we wanted to be better. Any comments, Alan?
No.
Gentlemen? Okay. Additional crosswalks. We've had many, many requests lately for additional crosswalks. We have looked at a variety of different things that can be done. I'm not here to tell you tonight that we have decided on what we will do, but I am here to tell you tonight that there is no protection in the world from a distracted driver. When you are driving, do not use your phone. If you are crossing the street, sounds funny, but hold hands and look both ways. That's the only way I think we can all be safe around here. Now, we're going to look at some blinking, not the type that they've used down in Carolina Beach, but we're looking at a variety of signs that may call more attention to the crosswalks we have. We have done, Commissioner Hagler did quite a bit of work looking through the studies that the North Carolina Department of Transportation has, and they would tell you that too many crosswalks creates the wrong problem. It makes drivers too accustomed to them, and it makes people who are crossing the street think that everybody's going to pay attention to them. Again, when you cross the street, look both ways. Don't take anything for granted. We did have just one point. We had an accident here at Curie Beach where we had folks hit in a crosswalk. One of the cars had stopped to let
the individuals cross. The car behind him, for whatever distractive reason, did not stop, hit that car, pushed that car into two pedestrians. So even when you think you're safe, there's opportunities out there for injury. We'll do more work on that. That's just to let you know that we're thinking about it, we're looking at it, we're trying to consider everything we can. Any comments on that, gentlemen?
No, looking downright.
Okay, stormwater study.
Yep, so her phone? Yeah, so let's see if Nancy can pull it up.
Good.
Nice, thank you. And thanks for closing the split screen. I was worried you were going to do that and I wasn't going to be able to read it. So we got two proposals. As we talked about at the last meeting, we had a scope of work. And we sent that out to our typical engineer, Brian Cox, and then LDSI was also here doing some work with us on beach outfalls and what we could potentially do moving forward. And so we sent the same scope of work to them and requested them to quote. They did. So this is kind of a brief summary of that. Like I said, there were two proposals. One, engineering services PA, that's Brian Cox. The council is very familiar with him. He's worked with us on multiple projects. He's actually contracted with the town on the water meter project. And so he's working closely with you on that. LDSI was Brian Hinkle, and he is who presented at us last council meeting, right, Jimmy? Thanks. Regarding the outfall and what we can do with that land. So you have the full proposals, and after this council meeting, we will get them up on the council for any citizens that want to look through all the proposals. Starting with engineering services first, they did a detailed breakdown of the services as requested. So one of the things we requested in our scope of work was breakdown into very much detail so the council could use that to choose with the amount of funding we have currently allocated. Their largest cost driver, as you look through there, was CCTV video and cleaning in each area. This was not really in the scope of the project. That's part of standard maintenance that Jimmy already contracts and does. What we were asking for this project is to evaluate the systems, tell us where the weak points are and any areas that we need to do maintenance or upgrades on. So CCTV and video cleaning may help them understand the process, but we have a lot of data already, so that I pulled that out. Even without that, their proposal for all the work was $136,000. To remind council and the citizens, in this year's budget, we put about $30,000, $29,500 or something, to start working on this work when we did the budgeting process. So that's, if we did the full three areas that we want to look at with everything that we proposed, you can see that we're a little short of what we wanted to spend, at least initially. Kind of moving to LDSI, you have the full proposal. It was broke down, they broke down the project by phases, but they didn't break down by the multiple areas. In their attached map, they actually showed the four areas, so they did cover that, but they didn't break down the pricing, so we want to talk with them a little bit more. The phases of the review do match the scope requirements. There was one issue, if you look in their map, and I'll have it as a separate slide. In inset B, they did not extend south far enough to get the beach walk second pond, which we wanted to be part of this process for other issues for council's information. So we want to go back to them and talk about that. Their proposed cost for everything was $98,000. And you can see they broke it up by phases. With an inventory assessment phase, a system analysis phase, which is, those are the two parts we really want. The other parts were asked of, okay, after you've analyzed it, where are the targeted areas we could spend good money to get good improvements in a specific area, like where are the restrictions at? That's the infrastructure or improvement. And then they added in, okay, there may be funding opportunities for this. We could look at that for you. And then they also added in, we could review your ordinance or your stormwater ordinance and see if there's recommendations we would make for you to make it better. So their proposal was With all that, it's $98,000, so about $40,000 less than the first proposal. But with one question that we still need to go back on. Here's the map, and if the laser works from here, okay, it's not working. At least I can't see it. So if you look at the... That's fine. Okay, if you look at the top red box, that's what they proposed in their proposal. The blue box I added, that area would be town hall in your lower left-hand corner where we're sitting right now, and then the pond for the second or southernmost pond of Beach Walk would also be in that area. And then that's the area that floods to that, at least part of it. That square could be, that rectangle could go to the west a little bit, it'd be fine. But this was just to show the council what's missing in their proposal right now that we want to get back to them. Any questions so far? I'm not going too fast, I hope. All right, everybody's had a chance. Okay, so the recommendation, as I said before, we have about $30,000 allocated for this issue. This would support the initial inventory and assessment based off the proposal from LDSI. Our recommendation is for have direct the Public Works Director to work with LDSI to detail their proposal to add the following. Inset B must continue south to include the Southern Beachwalk Pond as we requested. And then LDSI to break down in detail by the inset areas the pricing. So their pricing is for all four insets. What we had asked for is tell us by area so we can pick and choose the right ones so we can target what we want to look at. If we look at what who presented to us in April, I'm drawing a blank. Presentation in April from the citizen, and I apologize for
going Hubbard.
Denise Hubbard, thank you very much. If we targeted those areas, we could probably use the money to look not only at phase one, but phase one and phase two for those areas based on how the prices break down. So that's why I wanted to come back with that information. And then Jimmy can bring that to us at the September meeting for a formal approval of the council to direct the funds and enter in a contract with LDSI. That's my recommendation, looking for council feedback or discussion, but that's my recommendation based on looking through the two proposals.
Well, that is
with LDSI, right?
Yes, okay. Yes. Yeah. That's directing you to meet with them. We're working on scheduling the follow-up meeting now.
That is the lowest cost.
Yes,
well, we can manage it by section.
I like that. Recommendation. We can work it down. That would be very good.
Yep.
So with council's concurrence or request that council direct the Public Works Director and myself to work with LDSI for these two issues and bring it to the September meeting for approval.
But in the form of, you want that?
In a motion.
Does it need to be a motion?
I'll make that in the form of a motion.
Nancy, there you go.
No second.
Okay, we have a motion for Jimmy and David to pursue LDSI as defined in the recommendation. We have it seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Jimmy got some work to do. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sirs.
Well, how does this play in with what we're trying to do back here on Settlers with trying to get permission?
If they'll give us permission, we're just going to do that.
Okay.
So the surveyors and everything, that's a separate issue that Jimmy's working on?
Okay.
That's right.
Right,
yeah.
On, right on.
This is for the studies of existing stormwater. But
okay.
That, if they'll let us do it, I think Jimmy's ready to do it now.
Right.
Yeah, we're ready to survey.
I'm going
to
talk about that next.
Yeah. We're ready as soon as they give us permission.
Okay. The resolution R1909, CAMA final application for the ADA ramp. Nancy?
I'm very sorry, but you're stuck with me again.
That's good.
In April, I came to council. You directed me to submit a free application to CAMA to replace the existing access at 1004 and a half to the north end of town near Ocean View with an ADA compliant ramp. We decided, we got engineering plans drawn to make it 8 foot wide rather than 6 foot. And a flat ramp with no stairs, and also adding solar lighting, which we've been looking at all of our other ADAs. Also, because we have improved those. Part of the CAMA process application is two-step. You do the pre-application, if you get invited to come back and do a final application, it's a good indication that you will get the grant, and we received that a couple of weeks ago. So I now have to bring it back to you to make sure that you are still on board with this and understand that if we do get awarded the contract in September, we agree that we will commit to cash match of $30,000 and an in-kind match of $3,622. This is on a total project of $134,488, and Kevin requires a 25% match. The $3,622 is just for my staff time with writing the grants and for the public works directors and building inspectors who oversee the project. I would expect we could be on the contract as early as November, December, and possibly start June 3rd. The vendors involved have been notified and are still interested in pursuing the project. So I'm asking you, if you still want to move forward with this, to approve resolution R 1909 in support of the Campbell Public Access Grant to replace the access that was 004.5 at a cost of $30,000 cash. And in kind of $3,622, this is not a budgeted item. We could not budget. We still can't fully pass the grant. But before we sign the contract, we can get approved. We'll need to come back to council and please tell me where that fund is going to be.
Total contract cost is what, $134,000?
Yes.
And so $34,000 would be on the town. That would give us our only, I believe, our only ADA ramp in the north part of town.
Other than
I'm sorry?
Other than in Avenue.
We have in Avenue.
Oh, okay, right.
Does that one count, though? Is that because the vehicle access is not?
No, yeah, the N isn't because it's the address.
Correct.
Okay. So the next closest one north would be
L. Right. Yeah, I agree with your point.
Okay.
Is this a not to exceed $30,000?
The estimated cost is $134,488.
If for some reason the project ran over budget, we would still have 25% match of that. But we will be coming back to you because, and Campbell also, because that might cost problems.
Right. Marlon, any advice?
We did try to plan for this a little bit. We put $20,000 in contingency. So there's $20,000 there, and we have to go back and assess. And I guess this project will be completed before the end of the fiscal year. So we could look at a couple things. One, using some of our fund balance, which would be a fairly minimal amount of $10,000, or we may have some unexpected revenue. Sometimes that happens, or a larger amount of revenue in certain categories than we thought we would. So we'd have a better idea, later in the fiscal year.
Okay, so we get $100,000 worth of support. $20,000 more is budgeted. We need to find $10,000. And the in-kind work, of course, is probably going to come from...
Salary.
Right. So, okay, what is the feeling of council?
Make a motion we approve the resolution as presented.
Second.
Any other questions? Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nice job, Nick.
Okay.
Next, social media policy. At the July meeting, Mandy and my staff presented to you the social media draft policy. Again, we were asked to do this at retreat. We were talking about whether to have a town Facebook page for emergencies, and that another department in the town has a Facebook page. The initial policy that we presented to you, we went back if you wanted more clarification on public records aspect of that and what had to say and had to be kept or what could or couldn't be deleted from that. I went back through and looked at a current policy that we have in our policy manual on the website, which somewhat talks about those things, what should be posted, what should be posted, the purpose of it, which is for public education and awareness and emergency notification. So I modified that policy a little bit and added it into an existing policy about social media. So the main changes in here, you see in red, I've just kind of gone in and added to, we have a website, email distribution, that is boards, and now also social media. the way this is written is that it states that the department wants to have a Facebook page. They have to come to council first and get permission. That's something I need council to clarify. Any town directed social media page, by council would be maintained by my department and set up accordingly to what direction. But if a separate department wants to go out and have its own, such as the police department, it's written so that they have to come to council first. So I need you to tell me whether you want that or if you, they just have the authority to go ahead and establish a Facebook page. This pretty much talks about things that we would remove, things such as obscenity or material that feels to be of pure interest, contains personal identifying information, contains offensive terms that target protected classes, threatening, harassing, or discriminatory, so forth and so on. So this policy not only tells my staff what to do if it's a town authorized social media site, but also the department heads. The administrators on the Facebook pages would be the department heads themselves or their designees. Then I added a section on public records retention requirements. Most of what's on a social media page or a website is not anything that has to be kept forever a day. Most of it is generated from other documents that we have in town hall. Things during a storm or emergency declarations, we have those documents and we have already retained those. That's treated by the State Cultural Department of Archives as regular postings or photos that once it's updated or superseded, it doesn't have to remain out there. The only thing that we would suggest is that if it's something of historical value that you don't have that in any other format, that before you delete that, you should print it and save it, or anything that might be of legal nature. And I would be very cautious in removing anything from a social media site if we thought there was some legal issue involved with that. We would want to document that and copy it and keep it and date it in case we ended up in a legal matter.
So how would we, I mean, how do you know that? I mean, have we got good cover on that? Because some lawyer could decide anything could be of a legal nature, like a posting on the Ocean Rescue website of a picture of the beach of a rescue, if something went wrong, 5 years later they don't have it. Are we okay that we deleted it, or because no one said? I mean, that's great writing, but it kind of concerns me.
Longer than 2 years.
Okay.
Unless we have some concern that it might come back on us.
Okay. So it's our choice of whether we think it's legal, not someone else's choice. Okay. That's what I wanted to understand.
The other thing, let's see. I'm responding to comments on social media sites. The policy is written that the administration will want to respond to comments on the site without approval or response by a council member. Is that the intent of council, or do you want that to be more regulated?
I think we let the department heads respond all the time. At least my opinion is, you guys, I don't know where you are, but you guys talk for us all the time. We don't respond. We don't censor your responses on all kinds of things. You talk to the press, you talk to citizens, represent the town. That's your department head. And if you designate that, you're responsible for your employees as a department head. So I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I am too.
I am interested in your responding within 48 hours, though. Because what about, I mean, there are multiple holidays where town hall is closed for 3 days or the department head's out. So that seems like a pretty tight requirement that I don't know that you should sign yourselves up for that. I don't know what a reasonable one is, but 48 hours seems pretty tight, especially after you retire and they're trying to deal with it. That's a way to hook them up.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Weekends or whatever. We try not. I mean, my policy and administration is we respond as quickly as we can.
Well, I would put two business days. So then if there's holidays and Christmas and everything, you still got 2 business days or something instead of 48 hours because there's some specific times. I mean, like during a hurricane, what would our requirement be? Our policy says 48 hours, but that.
Well, during hurricane, at least on the, what we had suggested on the town Facebook page is that we would not respond. We would have a disclaimer out there. This is informational only.
Right.
We will not respond to this.
Good. Okay.
In case
okay.
you have to go over the town during the emergency.
You know, this really doesn't only apply to department heads. What this is going to allow is people to ask us questions.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So the...
So if you have, right now, the fire department has a Facebook page. If they get a question about
right.
the lifeguard.
Right. But I was just trying to let the guys know that when you open this up to questions, you can get questions directly. Now, if you can take a question... People could just post a statement. Now, I think you say that we're going to monitor and we're going to eliminate statements that don't meet any of these items. So, okay. I mean,
we are allowed to use by the public records solve certain things. Right. And then for
a
totally off topic or the rant. We don't have to allow this. That doesn't fall within the.
Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't do this, but I would tell you that you can anticipate when Jimmy writes his response and they don't like it, the next question is going to go to Commissioner Hagler.
That's fine.
Okay. So I want you all to know.
They'll write 10 comments attacking Jimmy's answer. So.
Jimmy's not going to have a website, probably. That's my guess.
No. He, so.
Because we're leaving it up to the department heads,
department
correct?
Heads if they want to be on it.
Well,
yes.
That's my question. Do you want to leave it up to department heads to decide whether they want a Facebook page or not?
Yeah.
Without getting
I have no problem with that. If the department head wants a Facebook page, then they should come to us and we'll approve it.
That's what I'm asking.
But
do
that's
want
there.
Want them to come to you and approve it, or can they just go?
Well, they yeah. should come to us to.
I think they should come to us to approve it, and then that way, then they manage their own page.
I mean, do we really think we'll decline one?
No, but at least we'll know about it. It'll be on the record if one out there.
Okay, fair point.
It says with approval from the town council before implementing departmental specific social media websites, so they have to. It says, you already have that in there, Nancy, on page.
I said that's how I have it written. Is that how you want it?
I think yes. Sounds like it. Yeah.
The other question was the policy is written that only staff would post on social media sites and not council. Do you want council included in that?
I'm not posting.
We have our poster here.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
We have our social media experts.
Right. Yes.
Well, just I'll bring this up. On one of the Carolina Beach pages, somebody posted a photo of a homeowner here in Curry Beach accusing them of doing something illegal in the sand, in the dunes, the crosswalk in the sand dunes. Someone tagged me in it, so I had to respond.
No,
you can't turn a deaf ear. You have to, if you're called out, you have to answer.
Okay.
I reached out to John Batson, who went to see what was going on. There was nothing illegal occurring at all. But by the time we go through this whole process of a couple hours, this person is being vilified on Facebook for no reason at all. And I even commented that the comments need to be removed from this thread because this person is doing nothing wrong, and even did a post, there was nothing wrong and this doesn't need to occur. And then everything disappeared, but it had been up there for what, 6 hours, John, by that point? Yes, you did. I could read the text messages. You were hot, man. but I mean, you know, just
Facebook. That is one of the dangers. You can get spun up and waste time on any post.
And unless you have a staff member monitoring that all day long, you're not going to be able to stay on top of that.
No, it's going
to
get out of hand.
On the town page, we would take it down. And by policy, you would be allowed to do that because it's identified in personal information.
And the policy does limit that people can't just post
right.
to the picture on it. They couldn't post the picture of someone's house as their own individual
policy. See, we wanted this to be a communication tool.
Yeah,
and we're not the first people that's ever
right.
done this, and
that's
it works
right.
fine in other places. So.
But you see,
we see where it hasn't worked.
What is the will of council?
I'm willing to give it a chance.
Yeah.
And if we have to back
off. I'm supportive of the policy as Nancy's proposed it after looking through it, except for the 48 hours. I think you should change that.
Yeah, and I agree with that, too.
Because I'm just worried you're going to work. You're making a commitment that would be hard for you guys to keep. And I would say the other caution is in the budget process, don't ask for a social media director.
And this is right.
This is for departments. This is not for the town.
No.
Okay. Right on.
As of right now, I have no direction to establish social media sites.
Right. Okay. Curry Beach Building and Inspections Facebook page.
But we're already doing things through, like the market has a Facebook page that a non-town employee is doing, mm-hmm. that promoting the market. I don't know of any negative comments, and there's good information shared, and gets the word out on it, so it just kind of pulls it all together.
I think Nancy's written a very good policy, and if mm-hmm. department heads feel it's a valuable tool, they can start using social media in a controlled manner.
Yep.
I just caution them that don't let it suck up one of your resources, and then come to budget time requesting a full-time social media.
Remember that.
Just one other thing I'll point out, it does require any administrator to have a second person who has access to the site.
Yep.
So if somebody leaves or whatever, we don't have a site out there that we can't get to.
Okay.
You're getting a second employee, John.
He's trying.
Okay, so council, what would you like to do here? You want a motion? Or I would like a motion.
I'll make a motion we approve the policy with the changes that were discussed.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Good job, Nancy. We got what we want with a lot of rules. So we'll give it a shot.
A maximum answer.
Yes. You ready?
Yeah. The Motsu land use plan has finished. I went out to public comments, 6 weeks ago, Nancy?
Yes.
I never received any public comment. No one else on the policy committee forwarded any comments from anyone from any of the 15 municipalities or other groups that were associated with it. That's kind of the broad picture. So it is in place now on a more of a Curry Beach angle. We are blazing along at a snail's pace with trying to get permission from Motsu to do the work back on Settlers Lane to put in a pipe that runs along the fire line for drainage back there. It will go ideally from this drainage ditch that goes to the curve at K all the way down to the water tower, siphoning the water, pulling it down, siphoning it to those drainage ditches. Of course, we'll do this, and we'll probably never have a storm like Florence, probably again in our lifetime. But those 48 homes there, the two tennis courts, the pools, and the clubhouses will be protected. So we can just get permission from them. We're waiting on some security clearances right now. Hopefully, we'll have those this week. We can get the surveying done and then start the work. A little bit slower than we planned on, but of course, we're dealing with the military.
The government. Which we are. Any questions?
That's awesome.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Whitley. Discussion and consideration of new business. Mr. Whitley.
Craig has already given an introduction to our two interns that we're going to work to death on this topic. And the Historic Preservation Committee had their first meeting at 6:30 the other night. I called in for that. Still kind of finding our way with it. They'll probably get more into the meat of the matter here in the next couple meetings. And we expect some big things from our interns, lots of examples to draw from, and so we can craft the best one for Curry Beach moving forward.
Okay. Thank you. Nikki. Memorial Bench.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm speaking tonight on behalf of the naming committee, which Mayor and Commissioner Ellen are both a part of, as well as Jim and Dennis in the audience. So, I hope you got a chance to read the memo. We reviewed a few different benches and selected this option as a potential memorial bench for future placement. What we're looking for tonight is to approve this as the memorial bench and allow for the community center to place one outside of their facility for Francis Regan. And then we can look into in the future if there are other places that we can place them throughout town. And we have been approached throughout the years by at least a half a dozen names of folks who have wanted to purchase one since we finished the ones down in the park. So there is interest in them.
What is the weight of the bench, Nikki?
The weight is 119 pounds.
110 pounds?
119, okay. Yeah.
Okay. And it's 6 foot long?
Correct.
And it is all plastics materials?
Recycled plastic.
Recycled plastics.
50 year guarantee.
Yes. Yeah, 50 years.
Jimmy, what do you think? 50 years? That's what it said?
Jimmy, you won't have to paint.
Keep the paperwork.
The stainless steel screws and all that stuff.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I guess for hurricane planning purposes, do they have to be taken up and put in or not?
They are mounted to the surface. Yeah. There is a mounting.
So you bolt them down?
Yeah. Okay. Them down.
Okay.
And then they won't walk away either.
Okay, that's good too. Okay.
So if council is amenable to this particular bench in gray and black, there will be some other work that needs to be done, not necessarily for what they wish to do at the community center, because that is us. But as Nikki did such great work and pointed out, we have to determine where can we put them, how much will they be, what will be the contribution place a memorial bench.
That's right, exactly right.
And what are the practices of, as time goes by in the plates. So there's work to do by the naming council if we wish to take this course.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are places in town that could use a bench. They will all look the same, just like all of our government buildings do now.
That's awesome.
I'm good with it.
I'm fine with it.
Make a motion this side of selected bench for the town.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, Nikki, I guess you got some naming committee work to do. Mayor updates, none that we haven't already gone through. Commissioner updates, items?
No, sir.
Joe?
David? Just a reminder, it's still hurricane season. So I know the department heads are still in the prepared phase, but we're not halfway over. So we should just make sure and be aware of that, right? Hopefully the 911 center will be moving back into their normal place next week.
I believe Monday, yes, sir.
Monday, so for those that don't know, the 911 center has been at the Federal Point Fire Department since the hurricane, basically, after their generator had a problem during the hurricane last year. So they'll be glad to get back, and the fire department will be glad to have them back to their normal 911 haunts. But just be aware, pay attention to the news. Hopefully no issues this year.
Okay. Anything else?
Make a motion to close.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.